Now, some of you might be pondering this and thinking, Russell started the service by saying, is Christmas over? And we all agreed it wasn't. And yet, we've got a reading from Daniel, which isn't particularly Christmassy. We're singing carols and reading about Daniel. The reason is that, as a church, we're going through a series looking at the whole of the Bible. And so, up until this point, we've seen the nation of Israel being formed. We've seen the Exodus from Egypt. We've seen kings being set up to rule over them. We've learned about David, who was the most powerful king of Israel. We've seen the kingdom of Israel split into two unequal parts and them give up on God. And we've just seen the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, fall to the Babylonians. So in around 600 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonians, has come and he has taken over Judah, killed quite a lot of people, destroyed the temple and carried some of the people off into exile in Babylon. And that's where we pick up the story today, with Daniel being in exile in Babylon. But there is a link to Christmas, which we'll come to in a moment. But before we do, I thought actually quite a lot of you probably know something about Daniel. So I've got a little quiz and I need a couple of people to come and answer for a team. Okay, I'll put you into teams because I think it's a bit unfair to ask that. But have we got anyone who would be happy to be a leader of a team? Some of the questions are fairly easy. Some of them are slightly harder, but it'll all be fun. Have we got a couple of people who will come and help? Go on, you know you want to. Yeah, we've got one. Someone for another team? Anybody, please? Diz, come on. Yeah, go on. Okay, can I have that one?
So, what's going to happen is we're going to ask you questions. You can be a team of roughly half of these people. You can be in a team of about half of these people.
Oh, I haven't turned it on, have I? That'll be better. Yeah. Okay. So, I'll ask you the question. You can consult with your team and then see if you can give an answer. So, the first question is for your half. Okay, hold the microphone because otherwise people won't hear you. So, if I have the first question then. The first question is, was Daniel a Jewish king? Ask the audience if you want. You can get some answers. It's a yes or a no answer.
That's Russell.
Yeah. Your answer is?
No.
Okay, let's have an answer. Daniel was young. He was from the royal family or nobility, so he may have been, he may not have been, but we'll go with no being the correct answer for the moment. Okay, probably wasn't. Okay, number two then, for Diz and your team, what language or languages was the book of Daniel written in?
Clever. Who's clever? Somebody knows Old English? Okay, we'll think Hebrew. Anyone? Anyone else?
Oh, good girl.
And your answer is?
There's Hebrew, but there's Aramaic. So
is correct, Aramaic. Yes. Daniel is one of the only books in the Old Testament that's written in two languages. There's a small amount of Aramaic, but in the middle, but it starts and ends in Hebrew. Okay, number three for your team then. Daniel is famous for his encounter with what type of animal? That's not a clue, by the way.
Lion.
What do you reckon?
Lions,
yes, is right. He was put in the lion's den as a punishment. That's easier. Pray to God. That was an easier one. Okay, for Diz's team, what are the names of Daniel's three friends? They were mentioned in our reading today.
Ooh. Come on, hands up. Who knows? Ah, someone knows?
Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego.
Yeah. They weren't the three names, though, were they? I don't know.
Shadrach, Meshach.
Oh, I don't know.
What are we going for then, Diz?
Well, I don't think the answer is Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, but that's what we're going with.
It is the answer. They were named that. They were given different names when they went to Babylon. So they were also called in our reading today Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. The ayah ending on it relates to God in Hebrew. So they were given different names based on Babylonian deities when they went into exile. Okay, number five then. Daniel 7 talks about one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. Who in the Bible later on called themselves the son of man? He's off to find someone. What do you reckon?
Jesus Christ.
It was Jesus, yes. For example, in Matthew 12:8, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Okay, next question then. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, or Hananiah, Azariah, etc., they had what job in Babylon?
Ooh. Ooh, right, okay. You keep pointing over that way. Do you think... You sure? You don't know the answer.
We spotted that you get the easy question.
All right, okay.
Right.
They were wise people. Satraps. Satraps? I've never heard that word. Wise people? Wise people, anybody? Goes with wise men.
What are we going for, Diz?
We're going to go with wise men.
Wise men. Well, in Daniel 2:49, it says they were placed as administrators over the province of
Wise
Babylon.
Administrators.
Wise administrators, maybe. Okay.
That was an easy
one. Were you listening to the reading then? Why was it hard for Daniel to tell Nebuchadnezzar what his dream meant? Ooh. He's looking for someone who looks like they were listening earlier on.
Do you have any ideas? Do you have any ideas?
The king didn't tell him what the dream was.
They're great socks, by the way. What do you reckon? Why was it hard for him to tell
them
what it meant?
Because the king didn't tell them what the dream was.
Yeah, exactly. The king didn't tell them what the dream was, so it's quite hard to interpret it. Okay. Later on then in Daniel, Daniel is asked to interpret another strange thing about some writing on the wall. But what did the writing on the wall say?
Oh, they're getting harder.
Yeah.
Anyone? Anybody here? Come on, Celia.
Meeny, meeny.
That sounds interesting. Telly what? Telly? Telly?
Mini.
I'm just going to hand this over to the wise Celia.
No.
You came out with the best, I think. Something about Millie, Celia, Mini.
Meeny.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Okay, it was that one. The actual words were meeny, meeny, tekel, parsin. Well done to Celia, who almost got that. Daniel served under more than one king, and it was the later on king that got the writing on the wall, and the message was to say that his kingdom, he'd been weighed in the scales and found wanting, and his kingdom was going to be given to someone else. And the king rewarded Daniel for this, and then that night he was murdered, and a new kingdom came in with the Medes and Persians. Okay, Daniel is the only Old Testament book to use the term Messiah. Who is he talking about? Who was the Messiah? Who is the Messiah? Hopefully we get this one.
Jesus.
It was Jesus, yes. Later on in John, we read the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him we have found the Messiah. So Jesus being the Messiah. And the final question for Diz's side of the team. Throughout the book of Daniel, can you think of anything bad that was said about Daniel?
Ooh. I can't myself, no. Here's a trick question.
Surely not.
Come on, Anne.
I don't know.
Chad?
No.
No idea, no, right.
No.
Anyone? We can't think of anything bad. Right, we're going to go with there was nothing ever said bad against.
Is correct, yes.
Daniel.
There are 2,930 characters in the Bible, apparently. I've not counted them. I did look this up. But Daniel is one about whom nothing bad is said. Joseph is another character in the Bible. Quite a lot of them are very flawed, but Daniel was all good. Thank you to our team captains. Well done. So the question then is, what is the link between Daniel and Christmas? If I can just move on a couple of slides. This is the part of the reading we had from Daniel 2. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that can never be destroyed, nor will it be left to other people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. So we're talking about the setting up of a new kingdom. And this kingdom was cut not by human hands. So the link here is to do with Mary and the virgin birth, because Jesus is the one who is establishing this kingdom. So if we look in Luke 1, which you no doubt have heard recently, Mary says, "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Daniel is predicting that Jesus is going to come. It's a prophecy that's come through Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and it links perfectly into Christmas because we've just been learning about Jesus coming and the virgin birth. So I was looking at Daniel and I was thinking, what can we take away from this? It's all very well to know that the writing on the wall said the meeny, meeny, tickle, passing. Not actually the most useful thing to take away with us for the rest of our day. And so I wanted to look at how Daniel coped with what was a potentially lethal situation. Nebuchadnezzar's produced this wild ultimatum. Either you tell me exactly what the dream said and what it's about, or you're all for the chop. And Daniel, facing this stressful situation, dealt with it in a way that I think we can take something away from. So the first thing we've got is that when Daniel met with this problem, I'll just push my clicker there, and the next one, he spoke with wisdom and tact. As we heard, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Now notice how Daniel faces this problem. This is potentially a terrible thing. He's got this problem. It's all going to go horribly wrong. And what he doesn't do at this point is moan about it or whine or sulk or hide away. Daniel faces it head on and he speaks with wisdom and tact. So the first thing I take away from this is that moaning doesn't actually make things better when you're facing problems. It's so easy to do, and I know this, and I do it all the time. But worth thinking about, can we cope without moaning? Because that's not addressing the problem. Daniel didn't do that. He spoke with wisdom and tact. The second thing was that Daniel shared his problem with his friends. Verse 17, "Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." Daniel didn't go it alone. Faced with a massive problem, he passed it to his friends. Maybe we need to learn that, to try not to be self-contained islands ourselves, to pass it around, because actually there are people there who care about us. One of the joys of belonging to a fellowship, a church like this, is there are other people there who do genuinely care. Maybe we need to share slightly more so that other people are involved in that. Sharing that burden can help, especially if you do what Daniel did next, which was, Daniel and his friends prayed about their problem. Daniel says he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel wasn't reliant on his own knowledge and skills, but he was asking for help from God to face his difficult situation. And I wonder, how often do I take on difficult situations and forget that God is there? How often do we all do that? Take it on ourselves. Try and do it using our own knowledge, our own skills, our own experience, and forget to actually talk to God about the problem. Maybe this is the way to face those difficult problems. Not to absorb it ourselves, but to share it with our friends and to ask them, along with us, to pray about it. Because God is a powerful God, and God can and will make a difference. Next thing that Daniel did was he praised God for answering his prayer. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his." It can be so easy to forget where our help came from. God has done amazing things and we take all of the credit ourselves and we forget to actually thank God. Daniel was very good at that. The first thing he did, having been revealed this mystery that was going to save his life, He's prayed to God and he's thanked God and praised God. And there are some lovely words in the way that he does this, the way he praises God. So when God does do things, when God does reveal things, let's be thanking God and not taking the praise ourselves. And finally, Daniel gave God the credit for what he did. The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel answered, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come." Daniel knew where he'd got his answers from. He knew the reason that he was able to stand there and talk to the king. Now, Daniel, I suspect, could have been quite tempted at this point to take the glory for himself, because it would look great. He's already living in a foreign country. He's already had to go through all the trauma of that. And anything he could do that's going to make him look better in the eyes of the king, well, surely that's a good thing. Surely he can stroll in and go, "Actually, king, I've got it. I've worked it all out myself. It was me." But Daniel doesn't do that, because he remembers that God has been the one who's helped him out. And so Daniel gives the credit to God. So five things there about facing problems. Thinking about wisdom and tact and not moaning. About sharing and using the friendship, the fellowship that we've got, particularly in church, but onward and outward. About praying for problems. About thanking God for answering prayer. And remembering to give credit for all that we do and all that we are to God. And that's partly why we're here today, to thank God and to praise him. So I pray that if you're facing problems, that you'll remember some of these things and maybe look at them in the way that Daniel did. Let's pray as I finish. Father God, we heard today that you are the God in heaven who reveals mysteries, the God who is caring about us, who is able to take part in our lives. As we look at our problems and as we face difficult situations, help us to remember to commit them to you, to involve you in all of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you will answer our prayer, and help us to remember to give you the glory, for you are a great God. Amen.